Well, good morning and welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Church, a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America. Today is Thursday, January 7th, 2021. This is edition number 59 of season 2 of the Morning Devotional as we continue working our way through the Sermon on the Mount. This morning we find ourselves in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Let's pray together first, and then we'll consider these very pointed verses briefly this morning. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we humble ourselves before you this morning, as we're confronted with these words that your Son so pointedly stated to all who could hear, that we as creatures of dust, as sinners all indeed, we must choose how we are to live. And we're reminded of the choice that your servant Joshua made many, many, many years ago. That as for he and his house, they will serve the Lord. And so as we come to these verses this morning, Father, we would ask that you would burn into our souls the importance of the things that the Savior says here through your inspired word, that we would indeed choose life. We pray, Father, that you would illumine our minds and our hearts, that you would strengthen us, give us the grace that we need to do all that you have commanded. We do pray for your people. We pray for your church in these difficult days and times in which we live. Father, we would pray that you would purify your people, that you would persevere them and cause them to live holy lives before you. We pray that you'd make ready the bride. Make her ready for her husband, your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning we are looking at Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. We read there, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Here we have, in these very pointed verses given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, inspired text of Matthew's gospel, we have what amounts to a matter of choice, do we not? I've often told people that life is about choices. Each and every day that we get out of our beds, each and every day that we begin a new day, we make choices. We choose to do the things that we choose to do. And every choice that we make in this life has consequences, some more severe than others, some less obvious than others, but the fact remains that our choices ultimately lead to consequence. Here in these two verses, we have a matter of choice. We have a number of choices, actually, as presented to us by Christ, but what we have ultimately is the very consequence of eternity. In other words, as Jesus puts it here in these two verses, he expresses the consequence of eternity in the framework of destruction and the choices that precede that destruction. Then we have, of course, the consequence of life and the choices that precede that consequence. Sinclair Ferguson, in his helpful devotional, points out that here there are actually four aspects of these two verses that should be considered. We first have the choice of entrance. Notice Jesus says, either enter by the narrow gate or enter by the wide gate. We have the choice of roads. One is broad, one is narrow. We have the choice of companions. We can go with the crowd or we can go with the few. And we have the consequence of destination, either life or death. And so as we consider these verses, as we meditate upon them and ponder them together this morning, we first begin with the choice that leads to destruction. Notice how Jesus puts it. Enter by the narrow gate. He gives direction. He starts with the ultimate choice that one must make, enter by this narrow gate. And then he begins to explain the gate and the way and the companions that lead to destruction. Notice he says, for the gate is wide and the way is easy. And oftentimes it's like that in our lives. As we move through our days, as we move through the course of our lives, certainly taking the easy road, taking the broad path, taking the gate that's wide and easy to enter, seems also attractive to us. And oftentimes we're tempted in that direction. But notice that Jesus points to the fact that those who enter it are many. That is, of course, the crowd. And as we look around our world, we see many people. Some of them sit in pews every Sunday, but we see many people who enter by the wide gate. They are on the broad path, and they are walking with their companions, many of them, to their own destruction. What does that look like? Well, it's a choice of living according to the world, according to the mandates of the city of man, that which leads to destruction and death. It's a life that's lived for self, a life that is uninterested in the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps it's a life that rejects the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ entirely and simply waves it off as having no value, no meaning, no concern whatsoever as to what might ultimately end with my own life. It could be those who have made profession of faith. They sit in the pews week after week, but yet there's no marked difference in that between them and the world. There's no fruit of the Spirit. There's no growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no desire to seek first the kingdom. There is no self-denial. There is no understanding the very mandates of what the gospel ultimately demands. My friend, if these describe you, then you have made a choice to walk the easy path. Enter the wide gate, and with a handful, with a number of multitudes of people who have made the same destructive decision. In the end of that choice, while life may be easier, while there may be less opposition, while things may be sunshine and roses, as it were, the end of that is not pleasant. It is destruction. It is eternity separated from God. It is a life that is lived with no profit whatsoever. For what can a man profit if he gain the whole world and then lose his soul? The other choice is the one that's hard, the choice of the true Christian life, the narrow gate, the only way by which one enters into union and communion with God, can have true forgiveness from God, that is through Christ. There are not multiple doorways. There are not multiple ways in which one is united to the triune God. It is through Christ alone, by faith alone, due to grace alone, given to the pitiful sinner. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. This choice results in a gate that's narrow, in a way that is hard. Now, those of you who are watching this and live in the affluent West perhaps have not truly experienced Christian persecution, have not faced the hard life of the pilgrimage as a Christian. But many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world have experienced all too well what it means to name the name of Christ, to choose the narrow gate and the narrow way. They have gone through great difficulty and hardship, even loss of life, as a result of serving Christ. No, indeed, this idea that merely coming to Christ and now as a Christian and a convert and one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ means everything's going to be sunshine and roses every day is simply foreign to the entire text of the Bible. Many times God's people suffered. Many times God's people went through abject misery in light of their union with Christ. Asaph in Psalm 73 is one who expresses this entire issue and presents this entire issue. Why do the righteous suffer while the evil and the wicked seem to prosper? Well, It's because as a Christian who chooses the narrow gates, you become by definition a stranger in a world that rejects everything you stand for. As you name the name of Christ and seek to follow the mandates of Christ and His commands, His ordinances, and seek to love Him with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, you will indeed find opposition. You will find those who will oppose your stance, whether it's on moral grounds or theological grounds, whatever it may be, opposition will come. But as we face that opposition, we know that we do not face it alone. We face it with the comfort and knowledge that God, who is sovereign, who loves His people and calls them the apple of His own eye, cares for them, watches over them. But notice the end of this choice. As contrasted with the one who chooses the easy life, outside of the communion and family of God, contrasted with that easy life and its consequence, we have the consequence of life. What is that life that Jesus is referring to here? He's referring to the life with Him for all of eternity, in a place where eye is not seen, ear is not heard, what God has in store for those who love Him. And so, life is about choices. You can take the easy road and the broad gate and walk with the myriads of millions of people who have made a wretched choice to go their own way and do their own thing and face a Christless eternity for forever and ever with no possibility of parole, no possibility of release. Or you can come to He who bids all sinners to come, who are weary and heavy laden, who are burdened with the things of this life, who are weighed down by their own sin, and look to Christ for rest and hope. That narrow gate, a road that is narrow and not often, and often difficult indeed, but one that leads to joys unspeakable and full of glory and grace. The choice, my friends, is one that you will make. And today, you are confronted with that choice. Which one will you choose? I would appeal to you as a minister of the gospel to choose Christ. Look to Him. Indeed, you will have hard days. He has given you the church. As you come to Him, He grants to you the church. He gives to you pastors and elders and the fellowship of believers to care for one another in those difficulties. And He's promised to never leave you nor forsake you. And He will not ever do that. He will persevere you to the end. He will sustain you and uphold you. His grace is sufficient for you. No, some of your problems may not go away tomorrow or ever. But I do know that under the authority of the Word of God, that the end of this choice of Christ, choosing Christ, is a life that is beyond imagination. And so take Christ. He offers Himself to you. For you who are Christians this morning, and as you consider these words, you recognize all too well, probably, that the Christian life is often hard. Choices that are made is based on the fact that you desire to obey Christ. You desire to obey Him, and that results in strife between friends and family and disunity in our closest of relations. But I would appeal to you to you cling to Christ, and you pray for those who oppose you. You pray for those who persecute you, and you continue to labor and with the sure confidence that the Lord Jesus Christ will indeed carry you through all of those difficult times. I can't pretend to know what some of the things are that you may be struggling with. I know my own struggles, but I can't know yours. But I do know what the Word of God says. And it says that this choice, this narrow path that few find, ends in glorious, glorious life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I trust these times are a blessing for you. I trust that they are. I hope that they are. If you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The information is there before you on the screen. And so until tomorrow, when we continue further into Matthew chapter 7, I trust the Lord will indeed bless you and keep you, that He'll make His face to shine upon you, and that He'll be gracious to you. God bless.